Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. I have no doubt that after today's conversation with artist Aaliyah Chapin, you'll want to experience her work up close and personal, because her combination of intimacy and natural realism will either take your breath away or shock you. Born in 1986, Aaliyah grew up on Whidbey Island, which is north of Seattle. She began painting as a child. She got her BFA from Cornish College of the Arts in 2009 and MFA 3 years later from the New York Academy of Arts. That same year, 2012, Aaliyah became the first American woman artist and the youngest to win first place in the BP Portrait Award exhibition at the National Portrait Gallery in London. Her award-winning painting, Auntie, is a nude portrait of a family friend who the artist has known forever. It was the first in the Auntie's Project, a series of large-scale portraits of women who have been part of her life since birth. The work, says Aaliyah, examines her personal history through the people who have shaped it and brings the beauty of realistic physiques rarely shown in our culture. The portraits challenge the aging process, how the years impact our bodies and minds, and how we're supposed to behave at a certain age. She calls a woman's body a map of her journey through life, and she makes sure to capture that map accurately, even if it turns heads or raises eyebrows. Breasts droop, stomachs sag, thighs dimple. Aaliyah's work is liberating, controversial, empowering, humanizing, playful, and beautiful. And I couldn't be more excited to talk with her today. Aaliyah, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So even though you live and paint in Brooklyn, the subjects of your pictures are almost exclusively the older women of Whidbey Island. Being close and connected is one thing. Painting them as they age is another. How did that evolve? And let me just say on my behalf that I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to be out there in all my glory.
Yeah, well, I think these wonderful women who I grew up around are a kind of particular type of person who are more comfortable being nude than most women are. And that's something that I think discovered later, actually, as I was painting them and realized so many people were like, I could never do that. So that was a lot of the reason why I wanted to paint them in the first place.
But how did that evolve? I mean, did you didn't think, I think I want to paint these women who are so special to me in the nude.
So it started in graduate school at the New York Academy. And I was at a point where I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Artistically.
And so I just decided to start at the very beginning, like the very basics, and just paint the people that I knew and people that I cared about, and kind of see what happened from there. And so that was the beginning of it, a very, very simple way. And I wasn't really thinking that other people were going to see them besides my classmates. I really wasn't sure what the reaction would be. I wasn't really trying to think about the reaction. I just knew that I needed to do these paintings. So everything that's happened since then has been such a surprise and a wild, wild
amazing
journey.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
So what did you do? You take their photographs and then paint them from the photographs.
Yeah. So the first photo shoot with, I think I had about 13 women. We were outside. It was August, so it's good weather. Mm-hmm. And we just sort of played. And I feel like during these photo shoots, it's a collaboration between myself and the people that I'm painting. Because I'm not telling them a specific thing to do. I really want this energy in the life to come from them and what's happening in the moment and their reaction to the space and each other. So, yeah, we begin just sort of playing around.
Did they all know each other?
Yeah, they've all known each other for quite a long time.
So this was, okay, so there was that in common. That there was a comfort zone
exactly.
Among them, at the very least, clothed.
Yeah.
Because they had a history among
them.
I need to know how this process began. Then it was, we're going to go out into this field and everybody strip?
Yeah.
No kidding. One painting of yours, a rather large portrait, which is called It Was the Sound of Their Feet. First of all, I need you to describe that painting and tell me how that evolved.
So that was a very, very interesting moment where they were just getting very, very playful. And I can't remember exactly what stage of the photo shoot this was, but they were just in a very, very playful phase. And they were actually literally playing this game where the little kids play, where you sort of make a tunnel with each other's legs and then all crawl through. And so this painting is, there's nine women, and there's eight of them that are standing, and one is crawling through all of their legs. And it's, to me, there's just this very, very playful, joyful silly, strange, kind of dramatic moment that happened. And immediately when I saw it, I just knew I had to do something with it. It took a couple of years to actually do this painting. But once I did, I felt like it was the right time.
It was not planned.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that really seems so natural.
Because it is.
Because it is.
Which is exactly why I love using a camera, is because you can capture those natural moments that aren't forced. And there's just so much life and joy that happens in the moment that we don't always take the moment to recognize that. But I feel like when you photograph something, and then once you spend 100+ hours painting it, and there's that just intensity of intentionality there, it brings a lot of focus to things we don't normally pay attention to.
Did you try to marry the women with the landscape?
Yeah, a little bit. The landscape in that one is from my head. Most of them are from my imagination, even though I will photograph outside.
And your memory, too.
And my memory, mm-hmm. yeah. Memory mm-hmm. and imagination just sort of pieced together. Mm-hmm. And I don't always know what's going to happen in the environment around them before I paint them. And sometimes they will have an environment, sometimes they won't have one. And the painting sort of tells me what it needs as I'm painting it.
So let's go back to Auntie. So you said, Auntie, I want to paint you naked.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said...
And she said yes.
And she said yes, not your nuts.
But also not knowing that it would turn into what it was. We absolutely did not know that everything, all of this would have happened.
And that was going to win you one hell of a prestigious award. I was just
hoping to get into the show. I had absolutely no idea that it would even be get in or even win. It was a really incredible big thing to happen.
Were you encouraged to apply for this competition by your professors at New York Academy of Art?
I don't think so. I think it was just a competition I had known about for a long time. And
felt confident enough.
I did. I felt like it was the right time.
Because there were 2,100 other contestants.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
I know.
Do you ever stand back and say, I can't believe this?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I have that painting right now in my studio because it's one that I've kept and I'm going to keep forever. And I haven't actually had it in my studio since before I shipped it,
mm-hmm.
And I just got it in last week, and it is still shocking to me that this painting of this woman that I've known my entire life, totally naked, was hanging in the National Portrait Gallery and actually affected people in such a real way all mm-hmm. over the world, and it's been incredible.
You've got a lot of power. In spite of the fact that didn't a critic call your work repellent?
Yeah, that's hard.
But it is hard.
That comes along with it.
Do you find yourself having to defend your choices of work?
Well, people won't say those things to my face, so I guess I don't necessarily need to defend it. But when I feel like with criticism like that, it actually makes me want to work harder
mm-hmm.
and make these paintings, because they're obviously things that as a culture we need to look at and we need to think about. If someone's going to call a natural, real human body grotesque, then that's
pathetic,
not,
isn't it?
That's a good word. Yeah, that's just not right. And I feel like it pushes me to continue this work.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is realist portrait painter Aaliyah Chapin. You can see her work on her website, obviously. That's Aaliyah, A-L-E-A-H, Chapin, Chapin.com. For an artist like you, is the goal to sell Auntie to me? And would you expect me to hang that portrait in my living room?
The goal was never to sell any of them, actually. I mean, I didn't think that I wouldn't, but I just wasn't thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I made a very conscious decision during graduate school that I wasn't going to think about selling anything. I knew that it was my only opportunity because as soon as I was out, I was going to have to...
You're out. When you're out, you're
figure
out.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I made a very conscious decision to just paint what I wanted to paint and not think, would this look good in someone's house? Would someone want to buy this? And I actually thought the opposite. I really thought that no one was going to want to buy these paintings. And yet they did. I am incredibly fortunate to be able to just paint full time right now and have my own studio and live in New York. It's very surreal and wonderful.
Well, give me the contrast to that. If you were not that lucky, I use the term in quotes, what would you be doing?
Either teaching, although teaching jobs are very hard to get as
I
well
would think.
In New York.
Uh-huh.
I was a barista. I made coffee for 7 years. Maybe I'd be doing that.
Wow.
And painting at night.
Uh-huh.
I'd probably be making coffee and painting at night.
You're young.
Yeah, I'm 28.
Would you consider yourself an anomaly in the art world based on your age?
Yeah. It's weird to say that, but Yeah, it's all a lot harder than I thought it was. Growing up, I sort of had this unrealistic like idea that just and belief that of course it's going to work out somehow. I also knew how hard it was going to be, but I just somehow knew that if I worked hard enough,
it would work out.
And yet now I look back and I think, how did I ever think that?
You mean you're stunned at your own naivete?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm just stunned at how I just sort of had this blind optimism that it would work.
I also have to assume that you knew you were talented.
My teachers said I was good, and mm-hmm. you know, when I was younger, but
You didn't believe it yourself?
I did, but I always struggled also because it was never good enough. And that still happens. And I think
I bet.
It has to always happen because that's how you get better. So, yeah, I mean, I knew that this was the thing that I loved to do, absolutely, and that I got a lot out of emotionally and spiritually. And it just I got so much out of it. So I knew it was something that I really wanted to do. And I knew that it was something that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also something that I could see and still can see how far I need to go and how far I can go. And so I'm going to continue.
What do you mean need to go?
Just
stretch yourself?
Stretch myself. Yeah, I never feel like I'm completely there, which I feel like is a good thing.
I agree.
It can be too much. But yeah, I feel like I can always go somewhere with it. I can always go further.
But you're easy on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pat myself on the back when I need to.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I want to talk about mm-hmm. some of your works. Jumanji and Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really an interesting portrait also. It's a mother and a daughter, and obviously yep. nude, standing next to each other. And the contrast is really stunning between the two women. The paintings really speak out whether one likes them or doesn't like mm-hmm. them. That's so the case, don't you feel?
I hope so.
That they talk
yeah.
to you, these
yeah,
women,
I hope so.
Without necessarily even having to do much, just talk to you.
That's something I've discovered, is that simplicity says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that particular painting, it is a mother and a daughter, and they're standing there and looking at us, and their arms around each other, and it's a very, very simple painting, and yet for me, it was just incredible painting to do, because partially because I've known them my whole life. Jumanji mm-hmm. was my first friend in preschool, and I've also painted Jumanji for years. Like probably in high school, I would draw her, and we would draw together also. And so it's very personal to me. But also seeing her and her mother next to each other, and their similarities, and how all of us kids, you know, I'm just calling us kids this
mm-hmm.
generation
mm-hmm.
are kind of moving up to kind of get to the age where our parents were when they had us. And there's this very interesting parallel.
There are ties that bind, despite the fact that they're of two different generations. It doesn't
yeah.
necessarily matter.
Yeah.
The connection's very strong, even though the women are just staring out at us.
Yeah.
I think one has her arm draped
yeah.
around the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know how you do handle the criticism.
First of all, I try not to read it too much. I try
mm-hmm.
not to read either things, good things, bad things. I mean, I definitely read some stuff, but try not to let that rule my life.
As in reviews?
Yeah, mm-hmm. reviews and comments. And I mean, you can't avoid them, but
I'm asking you the question, I'm not letting you finish, but there must be tremendous positive reinforcement, as in you have shows and galleries,
mm-hmm.
you know, and your work is huge. I mean, physically large.
Yeah.
It must be unbelievable to walk into a space and see these huge portraits on the wall, even for you.
Yeah, sometimes I'll walk into my studio and I'm like, wow, these are pretty big.
How's that for understatement?
Something that has been really incredible has been getting emails from people all over the world. And I think that is one of the things that's kept me going and kept me strong against the negative criticism
mm-hmm,
that happens
mm-hmm.
is just getting these really personal emails from people all over the world telling me how the work has affected them in a very human, real way. And like, what more can you ask for as a creative person or as a person just to be
what
able
an
to
impact,
impact
you're having. Yes, your work is
people.
Very impactful. What about your subjects? Have any of them regretted doing this? And I was also reading about social media and
yeah.
the internet for them. I mean, who would think that my sagging breasts and rolled stomach are going to be everywhere? You know, Google you and those women are in your
yeah.
face.
They're
you know?
Very, very, very brave women. So when it all started, as I said, we didn't expect this. None of us expected it to be anything that it is now. But since then, most of the models still pose for me, and they know that it's going to be on social media and Google and all over. And I honestly don't know how they do it. They're incredibly brave. I'm very, very fortunate to have them.
Well, they've become famous, even though I don't know your name. I certainly recognize the wrinkles. It's the fact that this is what happens. We get older, and that's the natural progression.
Yeah.
How we have fought this. I mean, it's not new to my generation. It's not new to your generation. Hopefully, you're providing, how's this, a public service in addition to your,
I hope so.
You know, your artistic ability.
I hope so.
You're not only doing older women. I think of the woman who's very, very pregnant with a tattoo. And so that your stomach, your subjects now span generations, which obviously to you was this natural transition, right? I just don't want to paint women only of a certain age.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted, because I realized that this sort of issue of beauty and expectations is not only of a certain age. I mean, I feel like women of that age have been invisible. So this is definitely something that I feel like needs to be seen. But also, I mean, women my age and me personally, like, I've struggled with body image, and I know that I'm definitely not alone in that. So, I mean, I want to paint people and real people and in every age.
Has anybody ever turned you down?
Yeah, I've had some people. Some people say no. I try to let people offer. I've had some people offer as well, which is really wonderful when they just offer to pose for me.
Does there have to be some kind of a connection that you feel towards your subject? Obviously, you knew these women from Washington State, but what if I walked into your studio?
I mean, I feel like I have to know them.
Have a sense of them.
Yeah, have a sense of them, because there's, when I'm painting them, I'm not only trying to, you know, make it accurate and make it realistic, but I'm also trying to get a sense of who they are and sort of a feeling of who they are. So I feel like I have to know them.
Of course.
Know them a little bit.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Aaliyah Chapin, realist portrait artist. Is that how you like to be defined?
Yeah. And anyway, but yeah, probably realist.
So what's the process like? You're going to paint me. I pose in your studio?
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll go outside?
Outside is the best, but in New York City in January.
Yeah, that's limiting. Yes. Right. Although no one would probably look twice if we were on some bridge and I was naked, whatever. But yeah, go ahead.
So
take us through, because I'm not an artist.
I'll take many, many, many photographs. So let's say 100 to 500 photos.
And you do the shooting?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So it's just me and you?
Yeah. Yeah. So, or it could be a whole group of people that I'm photographing together.
Right. But
I'm the only photographer, and that's really important to me because I want the model to be reacting to me, and because it's me who's going to be painting them. And with all the aunties, they watched me grow up. So I feel like there's their reaction and their body language. It's all very, very subtle, but I feel like that is going to be different if they were posing in front of someone they didn't know, some stranger.
Of course.
Be very different than posing in front of me. So I'll take many photographs, and then I'll just sort of look through them and see what pops out. And I'm so surprised sometimes, and that's why I love the cameras, because I get these moments that are so completely them, but in ways that I wouldn't have necessarily noticed or seen. So I try to look for those moments, something that speaks to me. And then I just dive right into the big painting. I'm fairly impatient, so I don't like to do studies because I'm just so excited about the painting that I just want to get to doing the big painting. So with paint, I'll just sort of do a drawing of the figure. And sometimes with these larger paintings, I'll do maybe like a 1 by 1 foot grid to like get all 9 figures on the canvas in the right place, so then I can really focus on the specifics of them. And I'll do an underpainting in this really wonderful color that's called Sennelier Brown Pink. And it is this sort of intense yellow-green color, kind of an intense moss. And I'll do an underpainting in that and let that dry. And the underpainting is pretty loose and pretty simple. And then I just dive right in with color and fairly small brushes as well. And just layer after layer after layer after layer, and maybe 6 weeks later, there's a painting. And I feel like I know when it's done, when it's sort of breathing. And it's not like I literally see it breathe, but it has this sort of life to it that is beyond the paint on canvas. And each painting tricks me, actually, at a point. There's this point where everything's on there. The colors are all generally right. You know, there isn't any bit of white canvas left. So I feel like it's done, but I just know that it's not. And so I have to push it further, sort of blindly. I'm like blindly pushing it further to see what magic can kind of come through with the paint. And that's
that, you know, you're not quite there yet.
Yeah, I know I'm not there yet, but I can't see what it needs. So I have to just trust that if I keep discovering, keep looking, and keep working with the paint, that will come in. And I think it's just the magic of oil paint is this incredible luminosity that you get.
Yes.
When you get many, many layers on top of each other. So it's also slightly different subject, but they're very realistic paintings. And some people have wondered, and I've wondered in the past, like, why not just take a photograph? But I feel like there's this incredible intentionality that comes when you're spending so many weeks and so many hours on one body. You're going over it with tiny, maybe quarter inch brushes. The whole body just has this incredible energy to it.
Or vibrancy.
And vibrancy, because there's been a human intentionality and a human touch all over the whole body. And that just, for me, makes it so much more than a photograph. So even when it does get extremely realistic, it's that paint. Each brush stroke is a human stroke, and it's piled on top of another brush stroke, another brush stroke, another brush stroke that just weave together and create this life.
Why are your paintings so large?
Because I want them to be larger than life.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
The paint. I want the people to be larger than life. Because when they're smaller than life, for me, I just can't quite get into the personality of the flesh as much, and the personality of the skin and the body. And something about larger than life, and they're all about double life size now. They've gotten a little bit bigger. They're also so much more in your face. So they're more intimate, and they're also more intense.
And when it's an interesting combination. There's an intimacy, despite the fact that they're so big.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're very up close to them.
Right.
When you're standing in front of a painting and it's life size, it will appear smaller because you're standing a couple feet away from it. And there's something that happens when the body is just so much bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And also when I'm painting it, I can almost get into an abstract kind of mindset because let's say I'm painting a torso. And there's moments when I'm not thinking, oh, I'm painting a torso. I'm just sort of playing with paint and dancing with paint. And
mm-hmm.
I really love paint. So that's another huge part of it. And that happens the best when it's, for me, when it's about life or double life size.
Have you painted women who you don't know?
No.
Would you?
Yeah, I'm definitely moving towards not having to have known them forever anymore. I've painted people that I don't know as well. And in school, I've definitely painted many models who I don't know.
Of course.
Yeah, from life. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely open to a lot of different things right now. I kind of want to see what would happen if I did paint someone that I
mm-hmm.
wasn't so familiar with.
That you didn't necessarily have a connection to.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would work the same for you kind of psychologically. There's no sense of history.
Yeah.
And if that makes a difference.
I mean, yeah, I'm not really sure if it would or not. But then again, when I'm painting someone, I'm spending so much time with their image that by the end, I feel like I actually know them in a totally different way.
So, I bet.
So who knows what would happen.
Now, I also read that you may be tackling men.
Well, I'm exploring gender, which includes men and many others. There's a whole spectrum of gender.
You mean like transgender?
Yeah. Yeah. And gender neutral.
Gender
and
neutral.
It's,
uh-huh.
It's something that is pretty close to me at the moment because of some friends and
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that I'm exploring.
But just to do a job on men for a second, could you paint the men who had the same impact on your life as these women who have the same history with you, do you think, if you approached so-and-so auntie's husband, son?
You know, I'm not really sure.
Would you want to?
Yeah, I'm interested, but I guess less so than women, and I can't exactly pinpoint why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, perhaps because I can relate, because I'm a female.
But also what a tough road we have to hoe in terms of, you know, visualized images of what we're supposed to look like and how dismissed we are because we don't look like that. I mean, you know, you've studied the wrinkles and, you know, you've painted women who have had mastectomies or, you know, and I'm going to have wrinkles and I'm going to have dimples. And that's just a fact of life.
And a beautiful thing to paint.
Do people agree with you?
I think some do, yeah. And I think that for me, I start to see the beauty even more when I'm painting something that we don't normally see as beautiful. And some people have told me that they get that the paintings can sort of help them see that beauty that they didn't think about before. And I definitely, that's a huge part of the painting for me.
How much of your time is spent working on exhibits and exhibitions and getting into galleries? And is that kind of an onerous part of the biz that you would rather be in your studio?
I would always rather be in my studio. But I'm very lucky in that I have a really wonderful gallery, Flowers Gallery,
in Chelsea,
in New York,
in
London.
Yeah, I was going to say, and do they have a branch, for lack of a better word?
Yeah,
they're from
London. They've been there since.
And they solicited you?
Yeah, we met through my graduate school, and since then it's just been this really amazing experience. They've been very supportive and wonderful.
So, are you working on a current exhibit, and how does that work?
So, I just finished a show there. I had a solo show in London at the Flowers Gallery in London
of your nudes.
Of the nudes, yeah, multi-generational, and that was a really wonderful experience to do. And now I'm actually working towards a show in a year in LA at Gusford Gallery. And so that's actually not Flowers Gallery, but it's a really wonderful new gallery that
So you're
I'm
free
very excited
to
about.
Exhibit at other galleries.
Yeah.
It's not that you're quote under contract.
Yeah, I mean I have a contract and I have a relationship with Flowers that I see as being long term and I really appreciate. But I do have freedom to.
And you can take your paintings that have been exhibited at a show at Flowers and take them to LA, or they want all new work?
Well, I want to do all new work.
And what's all new work entail?
It's going to be all new work.
How many paintings do they want?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how many I'm going to do yet.
That's up to you?
Yeah, it's up to me. I have a year, so. Yeah, I think that's up to me. And probably the size of their space. And
I mean, while that's very exciting, is it also neurosis producing? Like, oh my gosh. I mean, you were averaging.
It can be very scary.
Yeah, scary. That's a good word. You were saying paintings average 6 weeks, although it could be longer. I mean, do you just feel like it's time to make the donuts?
It can be very scary and difficult sometimes to know that I have to produce a certain amount of work. But I also love having an end to work towards and a project to work towards. It actually really inspires me and pushes me in the studio. If I do have a deadline, even if it is a year from now, it makes me very excited and inspired because I can sort of imagine like what would this space look like? What paintings do I want to have together? What images and what individuals do I want to have together? What kind of conversations can happen? And so I love creating work for a specific show. And creating a body of work that speaks together and comes together.
One final question. Would you ever pose for you?
Probably someday. It's a very hard question. The reason why I haven't done it yet, first of all, it's scary. But that you know, that wouldn't completely stop me. But a lot of female artists, their thing is them, their own bodies, I guess. And I'm just not quite, that's just not what I'm wanting to explore right now. I'm wanting to explore the female body in general without it being myself. So I don't have a complete answer why I haven't done it yet, but I know that it will be something I will do when the time is right.
So how's this? When that happens, you let me know and you'll come back.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that.
That
Talk a plan?
About that experience. That sounds great.
Okay. Aaliyah, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
And once again, Aaliyah's website is aaliyahchapin.com. And you can also go to flowersgallery.com and see your work there as well.
Yep.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.